I recently returned from teaching a 4-day live edge furniture design and making workshop at Snow Farm, the New England craft program in Williamsburg, Massachusetts. It was an incredible week of hands-on woodworking, and I've recently been sharing posts on Instagram highlighting my students' hard work. A large part of their process involved milling and flattening irregular, twisted live edge slabs using a standard router gantry, a tried and true shop method, but one that can be notoriously loud, dusty, and slow when working through heavy stock. Shortly after I shared those student clips, Sebastian Furterwiget, a colleague from Switzerland, reached out to me. Sebastian is a trained draftsman and industrial designer with a phenomenal talent for 3D laser scanning, CAD modeling, and custom jig design. He sent over a detailed breakdown, photos, and video clips of a custom slab flattening system he designed and built. His approach completely re-engineers both the material removal mechanism and the bed support to create a system that is fast, highly accurate, and exceptionally clever. Innovation 1, the floating parallelogram planer carrier and amp, sliding H-frame. The centerpiece of Sebastian's system, and its most impressive mechanism, is how the cutter head is cradled, suspended, and guided over the slab. When flattening a board with a traditional router sled, the bit depth is rigidly locked at a fixed height. If the cutter encounters a severe high spot or twist in the wood, it essentially hits a wall, forcing the operator to take overly deep, dangerous cuts, stall the motor, or constantly stop to readjust the router base. Sebastian solved this completely by suspending a classic Makita portable electric hand planer inside a floating parallelogram carriage within a sliding H-frame. Instead of forcing the tool through heavy stock, his mechanism is sensitive to the terrain. It receives feedback directly from the surface of the wood, allowing the cutter to naturally rise over high crests and gradually descend as the high spot disappears. 1. Crafting the open cradle cheek plates and amp, anchor points. To suspend the planer securely inside its carriage without obstructing the blades or sole, Sebastian created an open bottom plywood cradle consisting of two contoured side cheeks joined at the back by a vertical plywood crossframe. Contoured side cheeks. He precisely scribed and cut the inner profiles of the two plywood cheek plates to mirror the stepped casting of the Makita planer. These cheeks hug the tool body on the left and right, leaving the entire sole completely open and clear beneath. Utilizing the 10 through-hole, rather than relying on the smaller factory-tapped fence inserts, which are only M4 or M5 threads and not built for structural loads, Sebastian took advantage of a robust 10 through-hole cast directly into the planer's plastic housing. He passed a heavy-duty threaded rod straight through one plywood cheek, completely through the body of the tool, and out through the opposite cheek, securing the entire assembly on both sides with nuts and washers. 2. The four-bar parallelogram mechanism. This two-cheek plywood cradle is suspended by four pivoting wooden arms that form a classic four-bar parallelogram linkage. This mechanism allows the entire cradle to drop and rise smoothly while keeping the planer sole dead parallel to the reference bed at all times. At the rear of the linkage, a dedicated threaded rod mechanism acts as an adjustable hard stop to define the absolute lowest point the planer can descend. 3. Mounting inside the sliding H-frame. The entire parallelogram assembly is housed inside an H-frame made from T-slot aluminum extrusions, the modular grooved framing commonly used in industrial automation and robotics. The cross arms of this H-frame feature smooth plywood runners on their undersides, allowing the entire gantry to ride freely along the tall side walls of the main trough-like box bed. 4. How the jig operates. Floating over high spots. As the user pushes the gantry down the length of the slab, the pivoting parallelogram gives the planer full vertical responsiveness. Rather than plowing into high walls of wood, the cutter rides up and over crests, taking light, effortless one ribbons off the peaks. Progressive depth limits. With each progressive pass, gravity pulls the cradle lower as those high spots disappear, until the linkage finally rests against its rear threaded rod stop, locking in a dead flat plane across the entire board. Lateral step over. To cover the full width of a wide slab, the user slides the entire H-frame laterally across the cradle walls in small increments between passes, utilizing the full 82, approx 3-1/4, cutting width of the hand planer. Speed, Taking one per pass, Sebastian notes that it takes only about 10 minutes per board side to set up and skim it flat. Once the first side is dead flat, the board is flipped over and the second face is planed perfectly parallel before a final pass through a thickness planer. Innovation 2. Screwing a topography on a bed of nails. To complement the speed of the floating gantry, Sebastian tackled the second biggest headache of slab flattening: supporting the underside of a twisted or cup-warped board so it doesn't flex or rock under the cutter. Traditionally, woodworkers spend 20 minutes tapping wooden wedges and hot gluing shims under every high and low spot. Sebastian's bed support system eliminates shims entirely in a way that feels distinctly, hilariously European. First, the plank is leveled in a way that requires the least amount of wood being removed. I use a leveling board with dozens of grub screws. Like this, I can screw a topography on which the boards rest perfectly without shifting. Looking at this grid of metal points at the base of the cradle box, one can't help but draw a visual association to a medieval bed of nails, the classic European persuasion device used on heretics and dissidents. Uncannily, the same principle that once extracted confessions now works wonders on defiant, twisted slabs. Using a cordless drill equipped with a hex bit, Sebastian quickly adjusts individual grub screws up or down along the grid. The screws kiss the underside of the raw slab, perfectly cradling its irregular contours and locking it in place, subduing the most rebellious timber in minutes. Sourcing dense Swiss ash. The wood featured in Sebastian's setup comes from a 135-year-old ash tree harvested directly from his family's forest property in Switzerland. As he shared with me, the tree was around 135 years old and has been growing in a shady valley, so the wood is quite dense and of excellent quality. I also did the chainsaw milling myself directly in the forest. Harvesting this timber carries a poignant timber management context. Swiss forests are facing significant dieback due to ash dieback fungus, Hymenosiphus fraxineus, an invasive pathogen that limits the tree's ability to transport water, leaving stands vulnerable to severe dry summers. Harvesting mature, dense ash trees at peak quality allows forest owners to honor the wood before natural decay takes over. Real-world performance. Processing dense, 135-year-old hardwood puts serious demands on handheld power tools, and as Sebastian candidly admits, even the cleverest jig requires a bit of operator restraint. During initial testing, enthusiasm got the better of him. Before instituting his strict one depth limit rule, he pushed the machine through heavy, full-width cuts in dense hardwood. Combined with the age of the well-used tool, a classic Makita 1923B model, the heavy thermal load eventually burned out the motor windings. I got this planer used, and it was already old. Probably I also pushed it too hard in the beginning, so the machine's age and lots of heavy cuts over the full width in hardwood may have burnt the windings. It might have held better if it had been a new planer, or if I hadn't treated it so hard. The breakdown, however, proved just how economical and serviceable classic power tool designs remain. The $14 repair. While waiting for replacement parts, Sebastian sourced a new aftermarket rotor online for just $14 shipped, including new bearings. Swapping the part took minutes, and the refurbished planer has run flawlessly ever since. Backup tooling. Not wanting to halt production on his ash slabs, he also snagged a second used Makita 1923B from Germany for roughly $50, 45 euros, to keep as a shop backup. Model adaptability. While the vintage 1923B model has been superseded by the modern Makita KP800, which shares many identical replacement parts, Sebastian emphasizes that woodworkers shouldn't feel tied to a specific brand. If built from scratch, any other electric hand planer should work as well. I just used this one because I already had it on the shelf.